So last week I spoke about, and this is a real word for this season, I preached on righteousness and how in many places, particularly the Western Church, we've seen very little healing and deliverance and miracles and power because people are, they're chasing a lot of that, those promises of God, and chasing healing, chasing deliverance, chasing prosperity, chasing all the blessings of God. But when we examine the scriptures, God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything will be added. If you go through the scriptures, there's just so many promises that come to God's people through the power of righteousness, through living righteous lives. The Bible says that the righteousness is a well of life, that God will recompense the righteous. The righteous will be delivered from death. The righteous will be glad. The righteous will be as bold as a lion. The righteous will shine forth as the stars. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He rewards the righteous. Righteousness exalts a nation. And then Jesus said that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. When we read that scripture, that is a scripture that ought to sober us. Because the Pharisees, although we know they're religious, they were very, very serious about things like purity of life, giving God what's God's, telling the truth, tithing. All those things are very, very devoted to what we know, what God gave Moses, the law. They're very, very devoted to the law. And so this law, which was a good gift from God, was given, and they were very, very committed to it. Now, of course, we know nobody could keep that law. Why couldn't anybody keep that? Because the power of the flesh, the power is too weak. Our fallen flesh cannot keep what God requires of us. We cannot. We are not inherently good. We have a sin nature. But they were very, very serious. They were very, very committed to what they believed was righteousness, and what we believe is, and what we call now, understand to be the righteousness of the law. They're very, very committed to it. They're very, very dedicated to trying to keep all the requirements that God laid down in the law of Moses. So we need to be a people who actually are serious about the desire to be righteous, because there is many people that have come into a gospel that basically says you're saved and you know, you're under grace now. You're under grace, so you can live any old way. You're still going to get to heaven. So you can be sloppy in the way you live. But as I said earlier, all the blessings of God come to the righteous. So it's no use just saying I'm positionally righteous, but my life is a mess. Or life is full of sin. God desires, his holy concern is that his people, his church, be righteous. Now, last week I spoke on righteousness, and one of the passages I preached on or mentioned was in Romans chapter 14. So if we just go there and go to Romans chapter 14, and I want to just make a quick point. Paul is speaking in the context of what you eat, and how if someone, this is in Paul's day, someone was weak in faith and wasn't able to eat certain things because they believed that was a sin, he said, well, don't destroy them for the sake of food. But then he goes on to say, for the kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize, it is righteousness. So the experience we desire of peace and joy comes through living a righteous life. But all of those things, righteousness, peace and joy, it says that they are a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is righteous. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is that the righteousness we crave and the righteousness which brings blessing It is possible to live a righteous life. Right? It is wrong to think that because of our sin nature, we will just sin and sin and sin and sin and sin, but we're covered, we're forgiven every time we sin. There's a certain truth of that, that we are forgiven. But there is an expectancy of God that his people will be different from every other type of people on the earth, that we will stand out and we will shine as stars in a darker, darker generation. And why do we shine? Because of our righteousness. That there's a quality of Christian living. There's a quality of purity. There's a quality of truthfulness. There's a quality of justice in a Christian that is not in the world. That we have a quality of our life called righteousness that makes us shine, that makes us stand out amidst the world which gets darker and darker. God expects that. But the whole Old Testament is about the Jews and God's people trying to live and produce that righteousness through law, through living by decrees, through having a list of things that they must do, that their own human nature trying to fulfill this list. And the whole Old Testament's about the failure of that. The reason the law was given in the first place, it was a good law, but it was to prove that man could not meet that law. And it produced in man, when he realized he couldn't be righteous, it produced him that it was meant to produce a cry for a Savior who comes in Jesus Christ and lives perfectly on our behalf, dies and washes us clean of our sin, and it's through believing in his perfect life, lived on my behalf, that I become righteous positionally before God. But that is the first part of righteousness. That's a positional righteousness. What I want to talk about tonight is an effective righteousness. Because a lot of Christians, I want to say the positional righteousness comes through faith, but the effective righteousness, the righteousness that actually where your life changes, where you know you're different this year than you were last year, that you're more truthful, that somehow the anger you had is gone and now you have self-control, that you actually are become one of those lights shining in the world. You're different. How we get changed positionally, in other words, how righteousness becomes a reality in our lives. And I want to tell you, the only way that happens is through the Holy Spirit. Many Christians today are trying. They are positionally justified. They know they've been because they trust in Jesus and his righteous life for them, they know they're forgiven. God has considered them just. But their lives don't change very much because they try to work out a righteousness, which is a righteousness which comes from the flesh. They are trying to make themselves better through human effort. And I want to tell you, it leads to what's called a performance treadmill. You go round and you go round and you go round trying to be better and you fail. And you stay the same. If you go to Romans chapter 7, there's two chapters here that follow. And we've got to understand, but someone read a little bit about it maybe in the testimonies today. But Paul speaks in Romans chapter 7 about what I call the sin cycle. And he says, I actually want to do what the law says. I'm going to paraphrase. I can't read it all. He says, I actually want to do what the law says. The law is good. And I want to do it. But then he speaks about this cycle that he doesn't do what he wants to do. Who's lived there? We want to do it, but we don't do what we want to do. And then he says, I just keep living like that. And then in the end of chapter 7, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? In other words, I can't change myself. I'm trying, but I can't change myself. And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Why does he thank God? Because Romans chapter 8 follows Romans chapter 7. And what does Romans chapter 8 say? Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In other words, he goes on to say that although he can't live, although he can't be righteous by trying to keep the law, flesh can't make flesh righteous. He says, there is now, thank God, that Jesus not only came and died for me, and through faith I get accredited his righteous life, but now, not only did he come and die for me in my place, but when he came, after his death, he released the Holy Spirit back. And now there is a power available. There is a power with it, what which wasn't available under the law, to make me righteous. It is the Spirit of God come to indwell me. And the key to a righteous life is not trying to be better in the flesh. Flesh can't make flesh. The key to having your life changed, to becoming more self-controlled, is that the Holy Spirit must come and do a takeover. John the Baptist said, I need to decrease and he has to increase. That's the word for all of us. And it's not Jesus that has to increase. You know why the Holy Spirit is so important? And I feel really to preach on this today. The Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, the Christian life is hopeless. And I get grieved because I see so many Christians trying to live it in the flesh. But we must know, Jesus said in John 4, it is better that I go away. How could it be better that Jesus himself leave? Because everything that Jesus did here on earth, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, when I go, the same power that enabled me to live righteously all the way through is going to be released on your life. The Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit. He says, better that I go away. And so we need to be a people who cultivate and pursue a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he's the key to righteousness. And let me just say about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. John chapter 16, I should say. The two passages that Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better that I go away. In verse 7, I tell you, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of righteousness, of sin and judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, the Spirit of truth will come, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Now, I want to just make a point there. Jesus actually said, it's better that I can get the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to convict the world of righteousness, truth, and sin. So the Holy Spirit does all that. The person of the Holy Spirit, he actually shows us things to come. He's the key to the prophetic. No man is prophetic. The Holy Spirit does it all. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus called him a he. And I'm always confused. Don't think I judge your prayer, because I don't. But I'm always confused when people speak about, someone was talking to me this week about the Holy Spirit. I don't say the Annette or the Rhonda. If we're talking about Holy Spirit, we're talking about Holy Spirit. He is a person. And we should refer to him as Holy Spirit. It's not the Ann, or it's not the Michelle. It's Michelle. And God wants us to cultivate a relationship, not with an it, not with a force, but with a person. It's the spiritual person. And you know why he's so important to know? People say, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus at the right hand of the Father. God is in heaven. The only one that's left here on earth to empower you to be righteous by the Spirit of God is Holy Spirit. So we need Holy Spirit. We need to cultivate a relationship, because he is the key. This person has to increase in me, and Martin has to decrease in either for me to become righteous. There is no other way that all the blessings that come through righteousness will come into our life without Holy Spirit. We are told that we have this treasure in a jar of clay. The reality of righteousness only manifests when Holy Spirit is leading, not the jar of clay. Not the jar of clay. So what do we need to be a people? We need to know that it's the person. It is Holy Spirit, the person, that is the key for me to live an ever increasing, changing life, where anger is diminishing, self-control is coming in, long-suffering is coming in, my character is being changed, where I'm able to believe God more, the righteousness of faith. Everything is increasing. So how do I cultivate this relationship so that Holy Spirit is taking over in me, so that I am actually diminishing and He is becoming more pronounced, He is becoming more dominant in my personality, therefore I'm becoming more righteous because Holy Spirit is having His way more. How do I give Him? How does that come into someone's life? The transformation of righteousness. I want us to go to a few verses here today. If we go to back to Gospel of John, chapter 14. There's something here that's overlooked, often overlooked. But at the end of Jesus' talk about Holy Spirit in John 14, He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is John chapter 14, verse 15. "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper." That's Holy Spirit. "That He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, who the world can't receive, because it doesn't see Him or know Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and He will be in you." Now listen, the next passage, very important. "I won't leave you. A little while, I'll be here no more," He says. "At that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Now, the Holy Spirit is a manifestation of Jesus. He is the presence of Jesus. It's a mystery, but He is the presence. He is the manifestation of Jesus. And He says, the Holy Spirit will manifest. I will come to Him and I will manifest myself to Him. Who? Who has my commandments and loves them and keeps them. It's very important that we be people who actually have placed ourselves under command. It's very, very important that we have placed ourselves under command, that we have yielded. And have placed ourselves under the command of Jesus, who take the commandments of God and keeps them. You know why that is? Because that's how Jesus defines whether you love Him. He doesn't define whether you love Him as to how many songs you sing or how. He says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." And the Holy Spirit comes to the one who loves Jesus. It's just so simple. And He will manifest Himself to him. So we've got to begin by being people who've placed ourselves under the authority of Jesus. There's a beautiful picture. If we go to the end of Isaiah, chapter 64. It speaks about how we need revival. Isaiah 64 is about, "Oh, we need you to rend the heavens, God, and come down." It's a cry of revival. And then it speaks, it goes on to say in verse 5, "You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness." There you go. God meets him who rejoices in and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways, which are righteous. In these things we can... "You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. For we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and all our iniquities..." What's that saying? It's actually saying that Isaiah recognizes that the efforts of Israel, the efforts of himself, or the efforts of everyone to justify themselves, to be righteous people just by the power of the flesh. He said, all that effort, he said, it's actually so bad, it's like an unclean thing. And our attempts at righteousness are like filthy rags. I want to tell you, there's a picture in 2 Kings 4 of a lady who, you can read it later, but she went to the prophet and she said, My children have been taken into slavery, and my husband, who's dead, was a prophet with Elijah. And she said, I've got no money, and they're going to take my children. What do I do? And the prophet said to him, Elijah said to him, what have you got? She says, I've just got a little bit of oil in the house. That's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And he says, bring your little bit of oil and bring jars. And she says, okay. And so she brings jars. And Elijah starts pouring out this little bit of oil. And she just keeps bringing jars. And supernaturally, the oil, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, doesn't run out. It just keeps flowing, and it keeps flowing, and it keeps flowing, and it keeps flowing. And this little bit of oil just kept flowing and flowing. And it filled all the jars. She borrowed jars from her friends. She borrowed jars from everywhere. And it filled every jar so she could pay off her debt. You know when the oil ran out? The oil ran out the moment empty vessels stop being presented before the oil. What am I saying? I'm saying the oil of the Holy Spirit flows when we know that we are empty of our own self-righteousness. When we come before God and say, God, I want to be changed. There is nothing in me that can change myself, but I need a power from heaven to come into my life. I need a life. I need the Spirit of God to come into me. But I myself am empty. I'm empty of any goodness. I'm empty of any good thing. I need your life in me. That's how the Holy Spirit flows. That's a picture of humility. So we need to be, it's actually not called the righteousness of the law. It's called the righteousness of God by faith, and it's produced by the Holy Spirit. So we've got to, the Holy Spirit will produce it. So we've got to be empty. We've got to be empty of any self-confidence, but believing for a righteousness coming from God. Isaiah 44 is one of my favorite passages. It says, it speaks about Israel that's in a mess. God says, now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry land. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. What's that speaking about? That's speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it says this outpouring, this water they're going to pour out, in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit's always referred to as wind, oil, or water. And this is a prophetic picture. It says, in the end times, I will pour out on him. What changed the disciples from being cowardly, from being fearful, to being men who were as bold as a lion, able to preach in the face of death? It wasn't the resurrection. Some people say they saw Jesus. It wasn't that. It's that at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them and changed them, produced a rightness in them before God that wasn't in them before. Now, how did they get that power? How do you get the power for a righteous life? I want to tell you, the currency of heaven is hunger. He will pour out water on him who is thirsty. If you're content to stay the same, you're going to stay the same. And all the blessings of righteousness will not be manifest in our life. We actually have to have a hunger for Holy Spirit. We actually have to say, I don't want to stay the same. God, I know you don't want me to stay the same. I'm hungry. And you know the evidence of hunger? Oh, you do. I know you do. This is my last point. This is the evidence of hunger, that we're hungry. Really hungry for God. Some people come to church because it's the right thing to do. Two times in the book of Acts, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. One is in Acts chapter 2. And if you go to Acts chapter 4, in verse 31, it says, after they were threatened to not preach Jesus, they went to a prayer meeting. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. I want to tell you, where there is much prayer, there will be much of the Holy Spirit. Where there is much of the Holy Spirit, there is an ever-increasing desire to pray. It's so simple. We want the Holy Spirit. You can't make yourself righteous. You've got to be hungry. But I'll tell you, the place where the Holy Spirit comes is through prayers. It's through prayer. There is no other way. Ezekiel saw a river, and he saw it's an end time river, which the church is coming into right now. And that river, it went from Jerusalem, and it started ankle deep. It started knee deep. It got up to waist deep. And then in the end, God has you. And you're just swimming. The Holy Spirit's got you. He's got your whole life. He's making you righteous. He's empowered you. He's bringing all the blessings that come through right. You're being changed because the Holy Spirit's doing it. You know what opens the faucet to make the river flow, to go from ankle deep to knee deep? You know what opens the faucet? Prayer. Prayer opens the tap of the Holy Spirit. There's only one way. I want to tell you, you can't make yourself righteous. There is a revival of righteousness coming. And this nation will be established in righteousness. And all the blessing, bold as a lion. I've never seen the righteous lacking bread. The generations of the righteous are blessed. The heritage of the righteous, the children of the righteous are blessed. The church is coming into a righteousness that's never, but I want to tell you, it's going to be because of our relationship with Holy Spirit. With Holy Spirit. I just want to feel today, just at the end, there's an experience of God that God wants for everyone. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Central to Christianity. You can be filled but not empowered. As we finish today, can we just have the worship team come forward? I don't know if I've ever had that experience. I want to pray for people today. I want to pray for people today that the Holy Spirit will just have a place in your life which is real. That your relationship with Holy Spirit will become so tangible that you'll know His voice. You know, you recognize the voice of your wife or your child or your mother. God wants it so that we actually recognize the Holy Spirit's voice. That we actually understand what's coming down the track. That we're able to be prophetic people. We know what's going on in the world. We understand the times. How? Because Holy Spirit is telling us. It's so important today. We people of prophetic revelation, a prophetic church. We understand why Brexit, why all that, what Trump's about, what's going on in the world. Who's going to tell you that? Holy Spirit is. That we'd be people, no matter what happens, we never lose our peace. And even if all the world economies collapse, we're joyful, knowing that we live in another system. How do you get that? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Some of us don't have that relationship with Him. You know you don't. There's a religion, but there's not a reality with the Holy Spirit. When we pray this song today, I just want you, let's just stand. Let's all just stand. Oh, Lord, I bless you, Lord. That, Lord, you came into this world and you lived a perfectly righteous life by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord Jesus, you did it all by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you said everyone who believes that you did that and then died for our sin. Everyone who believes that that's what you came for. Father, by believing that, you would consider them to be perfect and without sin. I bless you that you did it for us, Lord, that you are the Lord, our righteousness. But Lord, you also want us to be a people whose lives are changing, where sin is past, where people see the difference, Lord. You brought the Holy Spirit back to live in us, to rest upon us, to lead us, speak to us. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. Everyone who wants a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I just, where you're standing now, I just want you to raise your hands. And also everybody who's had a relationship with the Holy Spirit, but you're dry and you need to be filled afresh, I want you to raise your hands right now. Lord, I thank you that you promise to fill the thirsty. Lord, I thank you that you have rivers of living water that flow from the human belly that produce a joy the world cannot know. I thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, you produce a peace in us which is unshaking. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have fruit that you want to manifest in every one of us here. Every hungry person here today, every thirsty person here today, Lord Jesus, fill them. Right now, Lord, send the helper. Lord, baptize people into your life. I ask for the baptism of Jesus to touch every hungry heart today. Every hungry heart today be filled with the life of God. Lord Jesus, I thank you. It is not by emotion. It is not by might. It is not by human skill or wisdom. It is not by acts of power. But it's by your Spirit. And it's by you, Holy Spirit, that we are successful. Holy Spirit, I consecrate this church to you today. I dedicate this church from this day forward. We dedicate this church to you. We say, have your way. Have your way, all that we do. I bless you, Lord, that you will. You are changing your people here today. I thank you that you are so pleased to fill everyone who just is empty. I thank you, Lord, you're pleased to fill everyone who is thirsty. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're pleased to manifest in everyone who will let you take command. I bless you. That those who hunger and thirst, not if, not might, shall be filled with the very life of God. We bless you, Father. Let's lift our hands and praise him for all he's doing. Let's praise him.